From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, December 4th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The Maine Department of Labor Wednesday finalized rules for the state's new paid family and medical leave program. Next month, the state will start implementing it. Nicola Grisco reports.
The Maine Department of Labor received more than 1,600 comments about the program and spent the past year writing the rules. Program Director Luke Monahan says starting January 1st, Maine will implement a 1% payroll tax split in half between employees and employers.
And really, almost every worker in Maine will start noticing payroll withholdings from their paychecks. Every employer in the state and even outside of the state with one Maine-based employee has responsibilities under this new law to contribute to the program.
The contributions over the next 15 months will help build a reserve for family and medical leave benefits to eventually be paid out. Under the program, Maine workers can take up to 12 weeks off for the birth of a new child or to care for a sick family member or themselves. They'll be paid at up to 90% of their regular wages. Those benefits begin in May 2026. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Advocates say that despite this week's termination of a 34-year-old consent decree, that Maine's mental health system is far from where it should be. The courtmaster who oversaw the AMHI consent decree said earlier this fall that the state had largely achieved its requirements, and the Superior Court agreed Tuesday. The decree was the result of a lawsuit that alleged the state violated constitutional rights after 10 patients died at a state psychiatric hospital. Mark Joyce, an attorney with Disability Rights Maine, says even though the mental health system has improved, there's still much more to do.
Remember, the Constitution's a floor. And so the state was below the floor in 1990. We should be on top of the roof, not at the floor. And so just because they're now above the floor, in no way means they're even close to the roof.
Joyce says individuals who need services can still get lost in the system, and they should be given the ability to alert the state when they can't access services. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Maine has reached a settlement agreement with Lowe's, the home improvement chain, over Americans with Disabilities Act violations. Caitlin Medion has more.
Under the agreement, Lowe's will provide accessible parking spaces on the shortest accessible route to the main customer entrance and near all accessible entrances, keeping the spots operational and clear of obstructions, and providing improved and proper signage. The store will also improve training about the Americans with Disabilities Act requirements and provide a plan to survey all its stores nationwide for compliance. A customer with a mobility impairment first complained to the U.S. Attorney's Office that the Lowe's in Brewer did not provide accessible parking located on the shortest accessible route to an accessible entrance. After investigating, the U.S. Attorney's Office argued that several Lowe's stores in Maine failed to meet ADA standards. The store will also pay the customer $5,000. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Lowe's cooperated fully with the investigation, but could not be reached for comment by airtime. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
Republican congressional candidate Austin Terrio has pulled the plug on the recount of his race against 2nd District Congressman Jared Golden. Steve Missler has more.
Terrio requested the recount after Golden, a Democrat, emerged from a ranked choice runoff with a lead of more than 2,700 votes, less than 1% of the more than 400,000 votes cast during the election. While the recount was expected to take weeks to finish, Terrio announced Wednesday that he no longer wished to pursue it. The announcement came after the hand recount of larger towns in the district showed no mathematical path for the Republican to overcome the deficit. Golden's victory is the narrowest of his congressional career, which began after he defeated former Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin in 2018 after a ranked choice runoff. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Hundreds of state lawmakers and their family members convened on the Statehouse Wednesday for the official start of Maine's 132nd legislature. Governor Janet Mills administered the oath of office to newly elected senators and House members during ceremonies steeped in history.
do swear that I will faithfully discharge to the best of my abilities the duties incumbent on me.
Democrat Ryan Fecteau of Biddeford was elected Speaker of the House for a second non-consecutive term, and Democrat Mattie Dautry of Brunswick became the fourth woman ever elected as President of the Maine Senate. The legislative session gets underway in early January. A survey of almost 250 educators across the state reveals concerns about the costs of being a teacher, the lack of professional development, and the need for improved diversity in the workforce. Sharon Gallant, a recent retiree who taught for more than 30 years, says the report illustrates that teachers recognize how critical diversity will be for the future of education in Maine.
I think the majority of educators here in the state of Maine are still white women, but that's certainly not the face of our students any longer.
The report detailed the findings of the Teach Maine Center, which include solutions for improving diversity. Those surveyed proposed the creation of a teacher exchange program, offering better pathways into teaching as a secondary career, and producing multilingual recruiting materials. Officials from the towns of Cumberland, North Yarmouth, and the two land trusts that manage the Knights Pond Preserve are suggesting steps for preventing accidental shootings after a pet was killed by a hunter there last Friday. Maddie Smith has more.
Penny Asherman, executive director for the Chebeg and Cumberland Land Trust, says visitors coming to the preserve should be informed about hunting seasons and laws. She says there are plans to provide blaze orange vests and dog collars at kiosks near parks for public use when walking in the preserve.
We're going to be reminding visitors to our properties to, you know, stay on the marked trails, to wear blaze orange, to have blaze orange on your pets, and keep them close or on leash during the hunting season.
Asherman says trail users who are anxious about being in the same area as hunters can visit on Sundays when hunting is prohibited, or find properties that do not allow hunting. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
That's today's news. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz Thursday at 5 a.m. for Morning Edition. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.